Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Governor Cuomo joins us now after his announcement yesterday that he plans an emergency ban on flavored e-cigarettes, which will not require approval by the legislature. Governor, thanks so much for the time today, and welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be back.
For people who haven't heard it yet, what are you announcing?
We're announcing that the Department of Health is going to meet with the Public Health and Planning Council to ban flavored vaping e-cigarettes, flavored meaning all flavors besides tobacco and menthol. Menthol we're still considering, which are designed to attract young people to vaping. Flavors like bubblegum, cotton candy, Scooby-Doo. We have a public health crisis in this nation. We made, after 50 years, we made progress on tobacco and cigarettes. And now we have a whole new generation of young people who have started e-cigarettes and vaping, thinking that it's safe. 40% of 12th graders say that they're vaping. And vaping, we know, is dangerous. At a minimum, it addicts young people to nicotine at a very young age. And the nicotine addiction is very strong. I'm a former smoker when I was young, and I know firsthand how hard it is to beat the nicotine addiction. And in many ways, it's a lifelong struggle. There have been young people who have died. We don't really know the health consequences of these devices that have heated steam that you inhale deep into your lungs with a mix of chemicals. You then have what they call black market, but other compounds that you can connect to the device, the e-cigarette vaping device. Some have THC, some have vitamin E acetate, which has been proven to cause problems. So everyone recognizes this is a public health crisis. The federal government, the president suggested that he was going to take action. He then suggested, shockingly, a couple of days later, that he didn't, basically was not going to take action. And the state of New York, I've grown tired and weary of waiting for the federal government to act responsibly, whether it was on guns or opioids or the environment. So we know that this is a public health crisis, and New York tends to have tends to be the progressive leader at its best.
So you're not waiting for the Trump administration, but you're also not waiting for the state legislature. Is it Democratic with a small d to do this by executive order, and do you expect a court challenge from the industry?
Well, the industry is, many of these companies are owned by Big Tobacco. It's a cruel irony, Brian, that it took us 50 years to actually make progress on tobacco. 1964, the Surgeon General put forth a statement saying that tobacco was linked to cancer. We didn't do the tobacco settlement with the companies until 1998. 2009, the Congress outlawed flavored cigarettes. You can only have a cigarette that is tobacco-flavored or menthol. You can't sell a cigarette that has flavors. Why? Because they don't want to attract young people. Congress did that in 2009. This is a direct analogy. This is vaping and e-cigarettes with flavored. It still has nicotine. It still poses health risks. So it's abundantly clear on the evidence. We have young people dying. The law provides the Public Health Council with the ability to take emergency measures for precisely this reason. Legislature comes back next year, and then we can take further action next year if we deem appropriate. I want to propose a law where I do need legislative authority to prohibit these companies from advertising directed at young people. Tobacco companies have that prohibition. These companies don't.
So what's the timeline on this emergency order. It's not just that you can say it as governor. You have to go through the body called the Public Health Council. And so what's the timeline?
Roughly 14 days. It will also give store owners time to take the products off the shelves. The procedure is the health commissioner, Dr. Zucker, goes to the Planning Health Council and gives his opinion and evidence, and the Public Health Council issues the executive order. In this case, the doctor's already consulted with the Health Council, and no credible health expert questions that this is a public health emergency.
And so you expect that process to take place within the next 2 weeks, and then the stores would be in violation of the law if they sell flavored e-cigs immediately?
Yes. We also announced that the state police and Department of Health are going to work on a crackdown of these stores. They're not supposed to be selling these products to people under 18 to begin with. You know, how do we have this in middle school to the extent that we do? As I mentioned before, 40% of 12th graders, when it's illegal to purchase for anyone under 18. And by the way, that law is going up to 21 years old in November.
40% of 12th graders, but you're also referring to 12-year-olds, right? Those are the middle school students.
Yes.
Who some of whom are starting to vape. There are at least two issues here. As you know, one is the outbreak of these hundreds of vaping-related lung illnesses and at least six reported deaths. That's a crisis of right now, perhaps from some kind of contaminant currently in vaping products. The other is the longer-term issue that you've been talking about of these companies marketing to children as well as young adults through these sweet, kid-friendly flavors to get them into their products. So does the flavors ban that you're announcing address the longer-term marketing issue without addressing the outbreak?
The flavor ban will be immediate, and the flavors are what they use to attract young people. As I said, it's illegal with cigarettes, but it doesn't apply here. This emergency order would make it apply, the flavor ban. The stopping of the advertising from these companies, that requires legislation, and I do need the legislature to act,
right.
So that would be next year.
But my question is, there's also something going on right now that's causing these hundreds of illnesses and at least six deaths, and in New Jersey, Senate Leader Sweeney is suggesting considering a temporary ban on all vaping products until public health officials can figure out what's causing the deaths and illnesses. Why not go that far in New York?
Yeah, this would not ban all vaping products. We're raising the age to 21, right? So no one under 21 would be able to buy these products if they were following the law. 21 years old, you can smoke a cigarette and you could vape. We do not go as far as banning all vaping products. The one positive for a vaping product, which is what the vaping companies will argue, is it is better than a cigarette. That is true. But that's like saying hitting yourself on the head with a wooden stick is better than hitting yourself on the head with a metal pole. And some people, data suggests that some people have successfully stopped smoking using vaping products. Now, you can stop smoking using a variety of better mechanisms, medication, patches, lozenges, etc. But some people, and data does suggest that some people have been successful by using vaping products. And we do want people to stop cigarettes, and vaping is better than cigarette smoking, but only on that basis. So we are not going as far as banning all vaping products at this point. But this is very much a situation in evolution, Brian.
Right. But my question is really about the health crisis that's taking place now with this rash that either has been going on for a long time and it just wasn't noticed before as vaping related, or there's an outbreak because of some contaminant in the system right now. The order that you're making deals with the long-term issue, the ongoing issue that was there even before this outbreak, of marketing to kids and getting kids hooked on nicotine or young adults hooked on nicotine. And yet we have this health crisis also. That's why, and I don't think New Jersey is on the verge of doing it yet, but there is a proposal there, and nobody else is doing it that I know of, but there's at least this proposal to temporarily ban all vaping products until they can figure out what's causing hundreds of people and at least to get sick and at least six people to die. Your order doesn't address that particular situation.
We do not. You're right. We do not go to banning all vaping products. My health commissioner, the state's health commissioner, does not recommend that at this time. It is an unfolding situation. The evidence tends to suggest at this time that many of the vaping-related illnesses were linked to use of either THC or vitamin E as a filler product in these devices. Once you buy the device, Brian, you can buy what they call black market oils, fillers that work in the device. And it appears that many of the illnesses were linked to that. Just the normal vaping with the off-the-shelf product that is FDA approved addicts you to nicotine. Mm-hmm. But the black market, the THC, vitamin E, these filler products that have no inspection whatsoever and are not legal in most states anyway, are the what people tend to think now is causing the illnesses.
Since some of these illnesses are caused by, apparently many of them are being caused by vaped THC, that is the active ingredient in cannabis, marijuana, not from ingredients in the e-cigs that are not marijuana, does it make you think differently about whether or with what rules to legalize recreational cannabis in New York State?
Well, we start to get a little scientific here. Again, this is unfolding, and they're researching this as we speak. It's THC plus the filler substances that they include. So there'll be a percentage of THC, and we know THC, and there's been a lot of research done on THC, but it is then blended, mixed with other solutions, oils, compounds, such as vitamin E acetate, etc.
Right, and this is only in the THC that's sold in the form of oils, presumably.
That's right, and I announced an investigation just into this. So when you buy a black market THC solution to vape, again, it's illegal, but you don't know what you're buying. It's THC plus what? Mixed with what? Filled with what?
So there's no indication, as far as you know, that this is coming from legal THC oil products from the legal states.
That's right.
Let me ask you about some other things in our remaining few minutes. I gather the state, or maybe more accurately, the MTA, is getting involved more now in policing the subways, and that has a relationship to the number of homeless people sleeping there. Is that accurate to put it that way?
Not exactly, but close enough. The MTA needs to solve for two issues. One is improving the operation of the train, make the trains perform on time, run better, etc. That's what they have been doing with the Subway Action Plan over the past 2 years. We put in new electric system, new rails, etc. Operating the system better. They have shown progress on that. The performance, on-time performance, is up dramatically. second, and contemporaneous with that, is the customer service that the MTA provides. Are you safe in the environment? And that situation has gotten more problematic. The number of homeless in the subways is up dramatically. There are many complaints about the quality of the service in the subways, not the on-time performance, but the condition of the cars. There was a report that there are many of the cars are soiled from use by people who leave debris, et cetera, bodily fluids, et cetera, not to get overly graphic. So the customer service, the quality of life, aggressive panhandling, attacks, assaults, the number of assaults on MTA workers is up and is very problematic. So you want a train that is on time. You also want a train that is safe and a train that you can sit in without wondering what you're actually sitting on. Let's put it that way.
Why focus the police on this? Homelessness isn't a crime, and I don't know that there are stats indicating homeless people commit more crimes than others. So I know advocates for the homeless are objecting to this being an increase in police activity.
Well, police activity is to combat crime. You're right. It's homelessness is not a crime. I started my career, as you know, working with the homeless, ran a not-for-profit organization that was the largest provider for transitional families in the nation. When I was in the federal government under President Clinton, HUD secretary, we had the most aggressive homeless program in the United States of America, and I'm proud of it. Police are there to fight crime, and there are quality-of-life crimes. The homeless issue is separate. Assaults are a crime. Harassment is a crime. The video of the young person punching the elderly woman in the face sitting on a train for kicks, that's a crime. Assaulting an MTA worker is a crime. So those are crimes. And you want to be on a train. You don't want to be a victim of a crime. And police help you do that. And that is a very important function for the MTA. They are responsible for policing their property and their equipment. And when you're on a train and it's 3 o'clock in the morning someone goes to assault you, you would like to think that there are police resources who might help you.
Right.
That's not an unrealistic expectation.
Which there have been. You're saying there haven't been enough, and that crime is, what, increasing in the subway?
I'm saying that I think the MTA is right in saying that they do need more police to keep people safe. And that is rampant concern that I hear from people all across the board. So, yes, the trains have to operate on time. They also have to be safe. Workers shouldn't be assaulted. They should have an environment where their workers feel that it's safe to do their job. And they don't feel that now. And that's a problem, Brian.
Last thing in our last few minutes, I saw that you made a new environmental announcement over the weekend about habitats and water restoration. We're going to be doing a lot of environmental coverage on this show this week. After the news, we'll start talking about the UN Climate Action Summit here in New York next week with Jonathan Safran Foer, who's got a whole new book about how our eating habits contribute to climate change. But tell us about your water restoration and habitat program.
Yeah, I think look, everybody gets, or everybody should get, that we have a significant problem. Politics aside, you turn on the TV, you read a newspaper, Hurricane Dorian, superstorms, fires, Amazon. We have the earth is out of balance. We have polluted it. We've dirtied it. We've been arrogant, and now we're paying the price. Stop polluting, clean it up, and help restore the natural systems that were in place. Restore the habitat, restock the fish, restock Mother Nature's system of balance. We, in New York City, we're going to aggressively increase the oyster stock. Why oysters? An oyster filters about 30 gallons of water per day. Here's an amazing statistic. 1609, Henry Hudson goes up the Hudson River. There's 350 square miles of oyster reefs. The 350 square miles of oyster reefs could filter all the water in the harbor of New York in just a few days. That was Mother Nature's filtration system. Much better than anything we've come up with. The oyster reefs were the natural resiliency barrier for storms, etc. If we just hadn't messed it up, we would have been fine. The oyster population could filter the entire harbor in a few days. Put back what you broke. Restore what you destroyed. Oysters in New York, habitat in New York, wetlands, marshlands, clams in Long Island, fish stocks in the freshwater lakes that help break down the algae. We have a terrible problem with toxic algal blooms in freshwater lakes that are now that are currently used as sources of drinking water. And you have toxic algae where we never had it before. So do all of the above. We have the most aggressive climate change law in the United States of America, the most aggressive program to go to renewables in the United States of America. Let's also have the most aggressive natural habitat restoration program, because Mother Nature had it right. We got it wrong.
30 seconds. Who does what to put those oysters back and the other things you were talking about?
The state will fund the largest habitat restoration program, most aggressive program in the nation. It will be tailored to individual regions. We're now working, because different regions of the state have different issues. What the problem in the Adirondacks is different than Long Island, is different than Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And we're working with the environmental advocacy community and local providers to determine what specific activities they want to do in their region. Oysters in Manhattan was just a symbol of the type of activity. Clam restoration in Long Island, wetland restoration, habitat restoration, removing dams that now block streams and rivers in upstate New York. Just getting us back to the design that worked so well, the natural system design that worked so well before we destroyed it.
Governor, thanks as always. Talk to you next time.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.